Welcome into the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. Joe Rex Road, how are we doing? What's going on?
Doing okay. It's a, you know, it's a great time of year. There's great games every night in both the NBA and the NHL.
Correct.
And had some good ones last night, too.
We sure did. We have live sports that are exciting to watch. Mm-hmm. We have a non-live sport event that is kind of sports that coming up on Thursday, mercifully. And we still have a college football movement going on out there as well. It's a big time of year. Big time of year out there. We're going to get to the new quarterback that Tennessee has found a little bit later this hour. Take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. Ian Safar, how are we doing? What's going on?
Doing great, thanks. A little bit of fog south of town on my way in, so be careful out there if you're driving in. Some fog here and there, but doing great, guys. Thanks. Ready for the draft.
Absolutely. The draft is, according to the clock on ESPN, 60 hours, 58 minutes, and 47 seconds away.
Okay.
So I'm glad that they're counting that down. That's how long we've got left to wait.
Yeah, it's how long we have left to wait, and then we'll finally know what the Tennessee Titans are doing.
Yeah, the best part
about
this.
Not 1 minute earlier.
Best part about this, you know, the Titans will be on the clock in 60 hours, 58 minutes, and 30 seconds at this point. And then it'll be, you know, they get, what is it, 10 minutes?
Yeah.
It'll be every ounce of that 10 minutes that gets taken before Goodell walks on that stage.
You can count on it, man. You can count on it.
I know you guys have been thinking about this pick for months at this point, but let's exhaust all of this time here.
Well, someone might call. Someone might call. Give everybody all their possible time to decide. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, we want Cam Ward. We'll give you half the world for Cam Ward.
Yeah, maybe so. Well, speaking of that, it's interesting. Adam Schefter came out with some draft tidbits heading into the draft and hit on a bunch of different topics. Shedeur Sanders was covered in here. You know, when is the day two run on receivers going to happen? Like, he had a lot of different things in this thing. And one of the things he brought up was the Titans and looking to add more premium picks. And here is what Schefter said in his little right through here. Quote, "A team looking for more firepower on Friday night will be the Titans, who, in a bit of irony, don't have a third-round pick, thanks to their own general manager, Mike Borgonzi. Just over a year ago, Borgonzi was the assistant GM for the Chiefs and a central figure in the trade that sent L'Jarius Sneed from Kansas City to Tennessee in exchange for a 2025 third-round pick. Now, Borgonzi has been hired to help build up the Titans roster. Borgonzi turned down the Giants' overtures to trade up to number one in a package of picks that would have included a third-round pick this year. Now he'll have to see if he can find a way back into that round." So, it is unclear exactly what that package is from the New York Giants. The only thing Schefter really says about it is that whatever the package was did include a third-round pick this year. I have a tough time believing that, like, if the Giants were actually serious about moving up, that that's the only thing it included this year. But it apparently at least included a third-round pick there.
So, yeah, what if that was it?
Yeah, we'll swap 1 and 3 with you, and you can have our third-rounder. I could imagine that conversation didn't last very long.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna tease us with this, Schefter, tell us exactly what the Giants are offering.
Yeah.
You know, give us the whole thing. That is the first confirmation that there was some kind of an attempt, at least,
yes,
by the Giants, right? So we know that that Borgonzi and Shane have talked a fair amount here at different events, but. Yeah, I'd love to know exactly what that is.
I would too. I would assume there's got to be at least a second rounder included in that too. Like, the big question we had at the start of all this was, could you get next year's first out of the Giants for moving back two spots? And I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to that. You know, Schefter doesn't say that it was only a third round pick, but I also feel like if they did have a first round pick in next year's that was offered, if Schefter got all the other stuff, I think he probably would have gotten that. But I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I feel like if next year's first was part of it, we might be having a completely different discussion about the entire draft right now, the Tennessee Titans. That's Yeah, I have a hard time buying that it was. I would doubt that it was. And I don't know this, but I think that if you had another pick this year and then next year's first, that'd be hard to pass up. Again, unless, and that's the thing, we know what they're going to tell us this week. Now, they're not going to tell us today because today they're not going to confirm that they're drafting Cam Ward when they have their press conference.
Sure.
But we know we're going to hear that, you know, that he was the top guy or what, you know, whatever the, maybe they won't say he was the top player on their board, but, you know, that all along it was Cam.
We've known for weeks.
Yeah, I mean, everybody says that, and that's fine. That's what you're supposed to, you know, that's what you're going to say. But, yeah, I'd love to know exactly what that offer was and exactly what it would have taken to get the Titans to do something. But at this point, we know what they're
going
to do.
We know what they're going to do, and that is going to happen almost 61 hours from now. Also interesting, I mean, look, we talked about this with Charles last week, and he had some really interesting thoughts on quarterbacks basically 2 through 5 here. And what does this mean for Shedeur Sanders? Like, is Sanders, you know, Schefter rolls through this here, and, you know, basically anywhere from the Giants at number 3, you know, obviously people are trying to connect dots to Pittsburgh at 21. Like, there are a couple of really interesting potential landing spots, not only for Sanders, but for some of these other quarterbacks. Like, you know, we talked about Jalen Milroe. Like, could, if he's available at 21 and Sanders is gone, like, could Pittsburgh take a shot on Jalen Milroe? How does Jackson Dart figure into this? But that seems to be kind of where everybody's at right now, focusing in on the, you know, the first round of the draft of, like, nobody seems to have a really good feel for where exactly Shedeur Sanders is going to end up here, which is going to be pretty fascinating to watch on Thursday night.
Yeah, he's certainly one of the big stories. You know, I know we just did the last, you know, writers drafting exercise, which I don't know if that pops up today or if it might not until tomorrow. But I know in that one there was someone getting back into the first late to get him. Not late, but in the 20s to get him,
yep.
You know. And that could certainly be the case. Yeah, I do feel like some of this stuff that we're hearing now is going to end up being the classic draft misinformation type thing. Like, you know, like the – so we're getting the Saints are all of a sudden in love with Jackson Dart type thing, which, again, Colts in love with Will Levis.
Right.
Colts love Will Levis. Heard a lot of that before that draft. Tyler Shuck, there's a bunch of that. I mean, maybe he does go earlier than you would think. You know, he's older. That's always an interesting debate on the whole, like, you know, what? How old is he? 25? Is that right?
I think so.
Or 24? So, you know, like, to me, like, it's like with the NBA, like with Dalton Connect, it's like, you know, he's 20. So it's like, I don't know. I understand, like, in baseball, you know, and obviously there's some guys like, I don't know exactly how old this guy is, you know. But to me, it's like, however you got there, are you good enough? I mean, you know, if you're 25 years old, but he is 25. He's going to be 26 this September, by the way. But, I mean, if you can like, be better at 25 than you were at 23. You can be better at 23 than you were at 21, right?
Yeah.
If you're that good, does it really matter that much? Like, oh, man, once we want that third contract with him, he's going to be really old. Okay,
he'll be you know, 38 in 12 years.
But obviously, the way some people look at it is, yeah, but see, there's way more runway to improve if you're 21 coming out of college, right? So I get that. But all that is to say, I still think some of this stuff about Tyler Shuck is probably a little bit inflated.
Anthony Richardson is young. There's no doubt.
Yeah, that's right. See, he's young.
He's got a lot of runway.
About to lose his job to Daniel Jones, but he's young.
He's got a lot of runway there.
To
improve.
Here's
one of the most interesting parts of this draft to me. And, you know, this is not necessarily new information from Adam Schefter that he put out there yesterday. But I am interested to see how this affects what teams like in the middle of the first round and certainly in the late first round do and how they approach their draft pick. He says, quote, multiple teams have said that the player who will be drafted at number 10 is the same quality as the player drafted at number 32. It'll be about each team's preference, but in the opinion of multiple personnel people, there's not a tremendous amount of difference. Like, that's an interesting draft from that standpoint of, that's a pretty common thought that, like, the basically when you get from, like, pick 8, 9, 10, all the way up to like the mid-40s from some people. It's like the same quality of player according to these, you know, personnel people, which you do not often see drafts break down that way.
Yeah, and we've talked about the – who told us the 15 to 75 thing again?
Charles.
I think it was Charles.
That was Charles, yeah. I mean, that's even more. Like, man, 15 to 75. Yeah, it's interesting, and that would make you think that a bunch of teams that would love to bail out and get more picks, as opposed to, you know, what you need if you're a team that wants to do that is you just need that one guy here or there that, oh, this team has to have this guy right here, you know. So, again, if you're the Titans at 35, again, maybe your guy is there, and so, okay, go, do it. But maybe they luck out and there's somebody who really wants to get there, maybe for one of those quarterbacks, maybe for a Tyler Shuck or somebody like that who gets to the slips, you know, gets into the second round. Or, you know, one of those receivers, and that's where it gets interesting. Okay, we really want Burden, but you really want Burden. So how much do we want Burden as opposed to having another pick or two?
Here's another nugget from Schefter on the quarterbacks here, just to, you know, add more logs of fire of just pure excitement of this quarterback class. Quote, at least one team does not have a first-round grade on any of the quarterbacks in this draft, and that would include Cam Ward.
Yeah.
The general manager of another team said that there are no surefire quarterback solutions, and the top-rated passer in this class, which is Ward, would be the seventh-rated passer in last year's class, and says, quote, and I don't think it's close, he added. Some teams are and prognosticators have predicted four quarterbacks to go in round one, but there are smart people around the league who believe there might only be one or two who go in the top 32 picks. There's Schefter. So one team doesn't have a first-round grade on any quarterback, and apparently this executive personnel person, whoever, says Cam Ward would be the seventh-rated passer in last year's draft class.
Yeah, that's so that would be behind. Obviously, it'd be behind Nix, Penix, the guys, the top three, right?
Right.
Who's six?
That's what I was trying to figure out. It's like, all right, well, you had five go in the first round. You had six go in the first round, excuse me, with Williams, Daniels, May, Penix, McCarthy, and Bo Nix.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, McCarthy in there.
Well, I mean, I feel like going into the draft, a lot of people would have Cam Ward above Bo Nix. I mean, who knows? I mean, I thought the whole Bo Nix thing was crazy, and look what I am as a personnel evaluator. But, yeah, man, seventh, huh?
That's what they say.
That's what one guy says.
Now, granted, you know, all of those that we've seen play to this point have been okay, been pretty good.
Yeah.
J.J. McCarthy hadn't played yet, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is last year's quarterback class, if you want to feel better about that, if you're a Titans fan, last year's quarterback class does look really good.
It does.
You got that going for you.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Just a few days away from the NFL draft, we went through some interesting notes from Adam Schefter on the NFL draft front yesterday. We'll continue to break down some of that coming up next. Take your thoughts as well on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. It's time for the 4th Annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament, benefiting Folds of Honor, presented by Gary Force Acura. We're going to be out there along with Fox 17, Outfront Media, and Social Indoor. Back at Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday, May 29th, to make a difference while having a great time. You could join us and a few guest media members, athletes, and musicians as we raise money for Folds of Honor, donations going to provide life-changing scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. If you want more information, if you want to play, you want to sponsor, you can do all those things at 615open.com. So make sure you check that out. Taking your thoughts on the NFL draft, 615-737-1025. Let's head to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Jared in Spring Hill to the program. Jared, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, fellas. It's quite an honor to be talking to y'all on draft week. And I hate doing this, but I'm going to do the ask.
Okay.
And I hate it, but I know it's lowercase journalism for Joe. I'm sorry. But
he'll get over it.
What is going to be the headlines or the storylines after the Titans pick Cam Ward? Because it seems like we're sticking our necks out in a long reach with the consensus of where he's ranked compared to everybody else in his draft. So Do you think, like, given the headlines, do you think they'll say that the Titans busted, they reached, the Titans don't have the infrastructure? Like, what do you think, like, once it's all said and done, the fallout will be? I'll hang up and listen. Hey, tighten up, baby.
Thank you, Jared. Appreciate it. Well, look, I mean, I think it depends on who's talking, right? Like, I mean, look, Lewis Riddick got on TV a couple weeks ago and said that he thinks he's going to have the same impact as Patrick Mahomes. So, I mean, Lewis Riddick probably be pretty happy with the pick if the Titans go Cam Ward at number one. I mean, look, the general consensus seems to be that he's probably like the 13th or 15th best prospect in the draft. Like, that's what the general consensus seems to be. We all know that quarterbacks get inflated in the draft. So, you know, frankly, if he ends up being a pretty good quarterback for the Titans and they feel good about the second contract when that comes around, I don't really care if there's like 8 or 9 players in the draft that are better than he is if he's a good quarterback for you. That's what makes that position so valuable. But of course, like I do think that some of the conversation after they draft him on Thursday, there will be people around the league that say, yeah, that's great. Good for the Titans. We knew that they were going to do that. It's not worth number one overall pick. I mean, that's happening now, so that will certainly happen after the draft.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. To me, the headline really is can this guy save the Titans from, you know, this era? I mean, I don't know. Era might be a little strong. They were the number one overall seed in the AFC in 21. But this stretch of misery.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are going to tie their careers to him. I mean, that really is what it is. So can Cam Ward just turn everything around? Will he end up being overdrafted? Yes, but like you said, quarterbacks are overdrafted all the time. He is the consensus top QB in this draft, and there's a lot of questions about the infrastructure and what's around him. Absolutely, the coach, the protection, the receivers, the defense.
There's probably like you could probably do a shorter list of like questions that you don't have about the Titans around him, right? Like that's kind of the spot they're in. It's like,
but if he's great, then he can make all these people who right now don't look that smart look way smarter.
Of course.
And he can make this owner who, again, will probably pop up if it happens, they'll look like, okay, finally there was a plan. It made sense. It all led to this, you know? I mean, if you end up hitting with this kid, it's just like a big burst of sunlight on everything. So that's to me is the headline. Is like, can Cam Ward turn this around? Can he save this franchise?
Ed on the text line says, if this quarterback class is viewed to be so bad, doesn't that raise Levis's trade value even a little? Could a team spend a fourth on him rather than choosing one of these quarterbacks? That's from Ed on the text line.
No.
I don't think so.
I mean, first of all, Ed, I mean, you know how it is, man. The unknown is undefeated, right? And so the known and the seen of Levis last year, I don't think that's going to get anybody spending a fourth-round pick on him. Especially, again, what are we talking about? I understand fourth is outside of the range we're talking about, but this is a draft where you want more picks. You want as many cracks at it in the top 100+, you know. As I see our YouTube chat with Ian. Nice comment. Look at Ian's comment. Leave it to the Titans. They have the first overall pick in a bad draft, then only one other pick in the top 100 when everyone says that's where you want the picks.
Nice spot for them to be in. Yeah.
You're very right, Ian.
True Titan form right there.
It really is. Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't have scripted it any better.
But if Cam Ward is great, then
it'll
doesn't
be worth
matter.
It. Yeah.
That's right. So we'll see.
We'll see. Stilly was upset at us yesterday, Joe.
Oh, good.
He was talking about, you know, Bill Polian came up again.
Uh-huh.
And we said yesterday, he's like, wow, you know, Bill Polian sure comes up a lot on the Stilly show, and I guess he didn't like that. So
boy.
He went on this thing about, well, you know, Robbie and Rex Road, I guess that they just don't care about these people who have actually done the job. And if, you know, he got back into the Tet McMillan conversation. Like, Bill Polian says he'd never draft a wide receiver that didn't run a 4.51 or higher. So, you know, I thought to myself, well, I wonder if Bill Polian ever drafted a wide receiver that ever ran a lower than a 4.5. And it turns out, after a quick Google search, he did. Austin Colley got drafted by Bill Polian, and he ran a 4.55. So, you know, I told that to Stilly, and he said, well, if you want to draft Ted McMillan on the third day, be my guest, because Austin Colley was a fourth-round pick. And I was like, well, is it a rule, or is it not a rule?
When does the rule stop
being a rule? When
does
the rule apply? Does it apply only in the first or second round? Can you draft wide receivers that don't run faster than a 4.55 in like the or 4-5-1 in the sixth round. Like, when does that rule stop? I thought it was a rule, but apparently it's not.
A few things on this. One, let it be known again, you got mad at Stilley. You brought up Stilley, which is beautiful. And also, I like that you had this back and forth. And, of course, he didn't read your stuff.
He didn't say a word about that.
He didn't read your stuff. Anything that's a counter to his point, he's not going to read on the air. Okay, so let's talk about this real quick. Okay, Bill Polian, I have respect for Bill Polian. He had a great career. He also hasn't worked in the NFL since 2011.
Yeah.
So, like, I think there is a difference, I would hope, between someone who's in it, who's doing that stuff. And again, I don't care that he's 82. That's not, you know, that's fine. I mean, he's still like a valued voice out there, and I appreciate him. But, I mean, he hasn't worked in the league in 15 years. So you think there's probably, you know, I mean, there's value in his analysis, but also, like, I assume people working in the league have a lot more information, right? Like, that's how it should be.
I just want to know if it's a rule or not.
Well, there's that too. So, and by the way, if it is a rule, I think it's a dumb rule. I'm sorry. Like, I just think it's a dumb rule. Let's see. I mentioned Jerry Rice. He actually ran a 4.71. I apologize. I said 4.6 yesterday. Jerry Rice, greatest receiver of all time. Anquan Boldin, terrible 40 time. Chris Carter, terrible 40 time. Chad Johnson, terrible 40 time. DeAndre Hopkins, 4.57. Devontae Adams, 4.56. Cooper Kupp, 4.62. Mike Evans, 4.53. Allen Robinson, 4.60. Again, I know I'm coming up with specific examples, but that's a lot of them. Like, there's a lot to this. I heard Stilley say, you know, the difference between Treylon Burks and A.J. Brown was that 40 rule. No, the difference is that A.J. Brown can play football and Treylon Burks can't play football, okay? It's not the 40 time, tiny little, like, it's just an overemphasis on this. How about great 40 times? You want to talk about great 40 times? Okay, I mean, I mentioned John Ross, who ran a 4.22. How about Darius Heyward-Bey? Oh, blazing, yes. Fast. Tavon Austin and Marquise Goodwin, J.J. Nelson. I mean, we can go through the list of incredible 40 times of guys who can't play either. Again, does it matter? Of course a 40 matters. Yes, it is. It's a valuable piece of information, but people put way too – and to me, I respect Bill Polian's career – but just to have that hard and fast rule and nothing, and you can take everything else about a receiver out of the equation and say, nah, he ran a 4.52. I'm out on this guy. I think that's bad. I think that's bad thinking. I think that's bad brain usage for a football person. But we respect Bill Polian.
Yeah, we do respect Bill Polian. I don't want it to come off like I think Bill Polian's some idiot or
anything. No,
like
I mean, we're just giving Stilley crap about constantly having Bill Polian, Thomas Dimitroff, and Rick Spielman quotes on his show.
Bill Polian is like his guy? It's like his Bill Callahan. You know, he does the Bill Callahan from Titans fans. That's what he is with Bill Polian.
Bill Polian! We love you, Stilley.
I'm sure he'll love
us. Stop talking about us. Today. Get our names out of your mouth.
615-737-1025, our phone number. The Vols have found a new quarterback, and it basically, Joe, is like the first actual trade in college football history. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. We'll have Adam Vingan coming up at 7 o'clock. He'll get his thoughts on where things stand with the Nashville Predators and head coach Andrew Burnett. Looking forward to that here in about 30 minutes. Joe, some developments last night in the world of college football. The Tennessee Volunteers have found another quarterback. Joey Aguilar, who was at Appalachian State last year, transferred to be the quarterback at UCLA. And now that Nico Iamaliava has landed at UCLA, is now the quarterback at Tennessee. So essentially what's happened here is there's been basically a quarterback trade. Nico Iamaliava ends up at UCLA, by the way. Apparently his brother is going to end up at UCLA with him after he leaves Arkansas. And Joey Aguilar, the next quarterback at the University of Tennessee. Joe, okay. Your thoughts.
Well, first of all, so that's – I did not realize this. So Madden has confirmed UCLA?
I don't know that it has been confirmed, but that is what the reporting suggests, okay, that he is going to UCLA.
So we'll have both kids back home. Okay, well, it was weird to me, the whole we're going to put another Iamaliava in the portal here this week. But
it was about the offense, though.
Yeah, is it about that offense too? All the offenses. Here's the offense
like
we want.
Like any offense, except the one UCLA runs, apparently.
Can we play catch and then get drafted in the first round? That's the offense we'd like to have. Can we have that offense? I'm seeing some, you know, some Tennessee fan, I guess, lack of excitement about Joey Aguilar, which I get. I mean, basically, when this happened, and there's been reporting, by the way, around raises for a Big 12 quarterback.
Yep.
Not sure who. Raises for a couple Big 10 quarterbacks. Not sure who. I think Tennessee has tried to get in there with some QBs who, you know, are established starters at other schools, and basically it failed. I mean, that's what it appears to be. We're not able to pry anybody loose. So you settle for Joey Aguilar.
Aguilar. Yep.
Okay. We're going to get this done.
Iamaliava.
We're going to be okay. Thank you. Yep. Iamaliava. Aguilar.
Aguilar.
Dude. Okay. So this guy.
Joey A.
Yeah, Joey A. There you go. Nico I. Joey A. This guy, he was not a huge recruit. Another California kid. I swear all the quarterbacks come out of California. You know, Diablo Valley, JUCO. I think that's like JUCO. For a couple of years, big time production at Appalachian State earned himself that opportunity at UCLA. Obviously, UCLA has been down bad, and they do have an exciting, you know, one of the co-OCs from Indiana, Tino Sunseri, goes out to UCLA. They picked this kid up, and again, he had good numbers last year. I like the production. Like, I would take this guy over Steve Angeli from Notre Dame. I said that yesterday. As someone who has played and has produced, as opposed to someone who has been in a good program but continues to get passed over every chance they get to pass him over.
Yeah.
But is this exciting? I mean, you know, is this guy going to be able to come in, jump in with this offense over the summer, and be a better option at quarterback? I still would not be surprised at all if Jake Merklinger is the starter in week one.
Well, this guy has 1 year of eligibility left. So Aguilar's got 1 year left of eligibility. In his career, he has thrown for 6,760 yards, 56 touchdowns the last 2 years at App State. So you've got a lot of experience there, now, albeit at, you know, clearly a lower level than what he's about to step into.
That's a good program.
But it's a good program. I mean, you know, you're familiar with App State if you're a college football fan around here. And the, you know, they've played some big-time opponents. They played against Clemson last year. So he's played some big-time football here. The NIL deal is interesting. So Chris Lowe put this out there last night. Says the deal that Aguilar is finalizing to go to Tennessee is similar financially to the deal that he had at UCLA. He had $1.2 million left at UCLA on his deal, and his new deal at Tennessee is close to that. So factoring in taxes, it'll be similar pay for Aguilar. He's already made more than $200,000 his first few months at UCLA. So, I mean, Tennessee, saving a little money at the quarterback position there. We'll see if they go do something else with that.
That'll make fans feel better.
Yeah, I'm sure fans are
good.
Really excited about that. But
so my talent fee is not being used this year? Okay.
But I do think, like, from the standpoint of 1 year of eligibility left, it's probably, in a perfect world, what Heupel was probably looking for, because I don't think it changes the equation on your quarterback room that way, right? Like, I mean, who knows? People change their mind all the time in college football, as we just saw. But like Merklinger and McIntyre, you've still got them in the fold. If Aguilar's the starter, which I think he will be, like I think he'll end up being the starter here, it doesn't change. Like Merklinger was going to be the backup anyway, heading into this year with Nico Iamaliava. So if he still is in line to be the starter next year, we'll see what that looks like. I think that's probably what they were looking for with the quarterback room that they have, and they don't want to like shuffle the deck too much there. But again, like if there's one thing I've learned through this process, yeah, let me know next fall when what their quarterback room looks like. Because I imagine between Merklinger, McIntyre, and Faison Brandon coming in, at least one of those guys ain't gonna be here by the time next fall rolls around.
No question. Yeah, and you look at Aguilar last year. Clemson, you mentioned, you know, he's 18 for 41, 214, a touchdown, no picks. I don't love that he had a 55.9% completion percentage.
Correct.
That's a little low.
14 picks.
A little high. He did run for 207 yards. Remember, in college football, sacks are taken out of your rushing total, which is different from the NFL.
Yeah.
So, you know, he got sacked 15 times. So, you know, it was plus 207, a couple touchdowns running the ball. You know, he had some highly productive games. He also threw like four picks against Louisiana. You know, it's not setting the world on fire. There's no question you have taken a step down in talent level from Nico to Joey. But it's like, look, this is the situation. Obviously, they were not able to get anybody. You know, we talked about Avery Johnson. I mean, apparently lots of people have tried to get him away from K-State.
Apparently so.
Can't get that guy to Manhattan, Kansas, man. Once you get to Manhattan, Kansas, you just, you know.
You never want
to
leave.
You don't want to leave Manhattan, Kansas. So it is settling, you know. But at least it's another guy who has demonstrated the ability to play, who can compete. And, you know, the more of that you have, the better. Right now it's Merklinger with a true freshman. Again, I think McIntyre obviously is a tremendous talent, but you're asking a lot of a true freshman.
Yeah.
To really get in there and have a shot, I think, to start for this team this year.
Well, and if you're Merklinger, like, I think you still view this as you've got a chance to go into fall camp and win a job here. Like, look, if I had to guess, Aguilar's probably going to be the starter, would be how I would approach it. But if you're him, like, you're the one that's been in the offense. You're the one that knows the system they're running. And, look, we talked about this at the time. Now, some people took this way too far. In the moment that Nico walked out of there, was like, well, it's all right. We got Jake Merklinger. It's going to be fine. Like, this guy's unbelievable. It's like, well, he hadn't played a meaningful snap of college football yet. Let's see. But, like, the kid has talent. I mean, there's no doubt about that. He's a four-star recruit. And, before Nico even hopped in the portal, like, there was noise around the program of they really liked the progress that Merklinger's made. So, if you're him, like, I think you just approach it and say, I'm going to go win this job in fall camp, and we'll see where it goes.
And also, if you're him, this is what I need to know. You know what you make. You are now getting the reports on what he's making.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
I don't know. I would imagine he's been bumped up a little bit through all this.
Yeah. But it is really interesting with quarterback rooms and just the salary management now, yeah. You know. You get in a big recruit. Again, we saw it with Nico. Huge investment before he ever played it down in college football to bring him in. And everybody kind of knew what he was making. You know, you're going to keep bringing these. I mean, I have to think Faison, you know, commanded a good number, right?
You would think.
I mean, if you're Tennessee, you almost need at least one of these guys to leave, right? Like, gosh, we're paying four QBs right now. A pretty penny. Yeah, you know, but I'd love to know, like, what those guys are making at this point.
615-737-1025, our phone number. The Vols have found a new quarterback, Joey Aguilar from UCLA, coming over in basically what amounts to a trade between the Vols and the Bruins. We'll take your thoughts on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to see Stained and Breaking Benjamin at Bridgestone Arena this Sunday. Be caller number 4. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 4, win a pair of tickets to see Stained and Breaking Benjamin at Bridgestone Arena coming up this Sunday. Tennessee has found a new quarterback, Joey Aguilar, coming in from UCLA in what amounts basically to a trade between the Vols and the Bruins, Nico Iamaliava at UCLA. I got one texter, Joe, that says, Aguilar should feel right at home, playing behind a Sun Belt offensive line. Ellerby has to go.
Oh, my goodness. Woo! Zinger. As long as we can get in some Ellerby rips. You know, anytime we talk about Tennessee, like, someone is going to bring
Vols
up
fans
Ellerby.
Do not like Ellerby.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's fair to wonder why they haven't. They've recruited pretty well. And I know now it's like, you know, David Sanders is going to be an all-pro tackle immediately. Yep. You know, let's pump the brakes on that. But he's a big, big story here for them. His development, and, you know, they've got to have more homegrown guys who become good SEC offensive linemen.
One thing I'm interested, like, now that they've got the quarterback, do they go looking for more help at receiver to add in the portal this offseason? You know, Sparks has come out with a piece at the Knoxville News Sentinel about some players that they could target, which include, you know, there's Keelan Marion at BYU. There's some guys that are out there in the portal that you could go grab. Nobody that's going to, you know, knock your socks off if you're Tennessee. Now, you know, Tennessee, they've got Mike Matthews on their roster. They did go get Amari Jefferson, who was the Alabama transfer last year. They did that earlier this offseason. They still got Brazel there. You've got Boo Carter, who's apparently going to take some snaps on the offensive side of the ball. So, you know, I know they're really excited about a kid like Braylon Staley, who got into the playoff game last year. So they have some guys, but they could probably use another body at least in that receiver room.
Yeah, makes sense. They got to move quickly. The portal window closes Friday. A lot of stuff happening this week.
Yep. So. Well, they've lost some offensive linemen this week as well. Now, I don't think anybody that's going to be huge impact.
But depth,
and you probably need to go grab one of those as well. So I'm interested to see what else, now that you've landed the quarterback, as you said. I mean, you've got until Friday. It's Tuesday, so still some more work to do from Heupel and company on that front to see what's left. And also, it's probably too late at this point. Like, I don't think you're going to see, like, Mike Matthews or anything hop back in the portal on Tuesday when the portal window closes.
Knock on something
on Friday.
Buddy.
But I'm just saying, like, I do wonder, you know, one thing we wondered about when Nico left was, all right, who do they go get at quarterback? And when they get this person, how do the receivers view that? So we'll see.
Yeah, like, you bet. I mean, you know, until it closes, you know, you mentioned Mike Matthews, you probably don't totally exhale, you know. But the whole thing with Matthews was obviously, like, Nico, you know, push for him, right? And he was, you know, I think, basically push for him to get more money, right? And obviously
– You got it.
Mike Matthews wanted to play with Nico. So I guess if there's just no rumbling there, maybe that means he feels good about Merklinger. I mean, I guess you could say, no, he was about to leave, and then Aguilar showed up, and everything's fine. But, again, right now, I'm making a prediction. My prediction is that Merklinger is our starter week one.
Okay.
You know, that's my prediction. And it, maybe it is a situation at some point where an Aguilar could be like, you know, Hendon Hooker at some point in the middle of the 2020, you know, early in the 2021 season, and he ends up being the better option. But I think, you know, there's probably a bit of a learning curve here ahead for him.
Well, now that we know what their quarterback room is for the moment, what do you make of what this season could be for Tennessee? I said it last week when Nico left. I don't feel like they're a college football playoff team right now, and I don't know that I felt like they were when Nico was the quarterback. So I certainly don't feel that way now. How do you view what they have and what this means for their bottom line?
I agree. I think that they were a college football team in 2025 because Nico became that dude. And it all came together for him. And it's like, oh, is he going to the league now? That type of season. And so, obviously, that's all out the window. So, there are enough guys coming up, good recruits who we haven't seen, the talent on the roster, that there could be 5 to 7 guys that right now we're not talking about
yep.
who emerge, and it's possible. I still think on their schedule, you know, I like 8 wins, but 10, you know, I think you're asking for some things to develop that we just can't foresee right now.
Their over under before all this went down on the FanDuel Sportsbook was 9.5 wins. It is now 8.5, so they've gone down a win over under.
Sounds about right.
Which makes some sense. I mean, look, the one thing, you look at their schedule, it's not an overly daunting schedule on the conference side of things. Now, look, I mean, you still have Alabama. You still have Georgia. We'll see what Florida looks like this year. I mean, they hadn't won in Florida since I was, you know, 10, 11 years old. I'm 32.
And Florida's got a dude at QB.
They've got a dude. Yeah, he could be really good. So, I mean, we'll see what that looks like. But they've got some manageable games on their schedule. But, like, right now they kind of seem to me – like, that's probably where I'd put it. Like, they seem like a 7-8 win football team to me, which, again, gets back to what we started on last week of – you know, everybody was all riled up when Nico left.
Make a stand!
You know, Heupel was probably as popular with the fan base then as he's been at any point during his tenure as Tennessee coach. is that energy still going to be there when and if they go 7-5, 8-4 this year?
Yeah.
That's going to be the question.
Yeah, it'll lose a little steam. There will be a little less energy along those lines. But, you know, it's to me, you have to keep things in perspective. It was a tough spot that they were in. I can't blame the decision to not basically cave in, you know, and allow that to the way that they were trying to go about things. I can't blame that. But unfortunately, yes, it may cost them on the field significantly. You know, one thing that's interesting too about the whole Nico thing, I don't know if anybody noticed this, but I have only seen positive responses from his teammates to him. For the record, you know, for anybody who wants, you know, this guy's a selfish turd, blah, blah, blah. I mean, again, what they did, Team Nico, is stupid, incredibly stupid, bad overplay. But I've only seen Vols teammates who, like, it's just been all outpouring of love for him from, yep, at least on social media. And usually in something like this, I mean, usually there's somebody who's like, GTFO, you know, don't let the door hits you where the Lord splits you, or whatever, something like that. I saw none of this.
I haven't seen any posts like that from Miles Kitzelman, who seems to be still
that's
very
true.
Upset.
That's true. Kitzelman did have a little, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. Look, if I'm sure a lot of those guys, they should be upset, yeah, right, about the way it all went down. I also think a lot of those guys understand his situation and probably just like, man, at some point you got to tell your dad to shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
But he didn't.
Exactly. Adam Vingan will be with us coming up next. We'll get into where things stand with Predators coach Andrew Brunette with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.